This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That's the real warrior. And that's ancient Chinese. The Chinese said the true warrior is the one that conquers himself. This is an ancient tradition. Now, the second type of mujahada is the mujahada of shaitan. And shaitan in the Islamic tradition is a force that exists within the world. There is an obsessive element within the soul, a whispering that comes into the soul, and also outside of oneself. And it has two forms. It has human, what are called shayateen al-ins, and then shayateen al-jinn. Shayateen al-jinn are the demons that work in another realm. And just as we are here and can see each other, and there are other creatures that live alongside of us that have impact on our life, and we have impact on their life, but we cannot see them and they can see us. Every culture and every civilization has reference to them. There's no culture that you can find, I don't care where, if it's Japanese, if it's Indian, if it's Russian, Irish, no culture, except that it has reference to this realm. German, the poltergeist, mischievous spirits and things like this. Japanese culture is filled with it. Chinese culture is filled with it. And they're real. And they do have an impact. And the way that one struggles against them is by cleanliness, maintaining vigilance in cleanliness, urine, feces, wudu, ritual washing, things like this. And that's why most cultures have some traditions that they ward off these elements. Some of the Native American tribes would burn sage in the southwestern parts of the country to remove these elements. And incense traditionally was one of the things, because the idea is that they don't like good smells. And that's why incense is almost a universal phenomenon. You find incense in the Christian tradition, in the Shinto, in the Buddhist, in the Islamic tradition. This idea, the Prophet said, "Bakhiru masajidukum," fumigate your mosques with incense. And that's part of why that is there. And also wearing perfume was also a good thing. So, and not listening to these impulses in the self. Because everybody has them, whether you call them obsessive compulsive thoughts, whatever people want to call them. Psychiatrists have words for them when they become out and get out of hand. People start having auditory hallucinations. This is what they're called, auditory hallucinations. Muslims believe that they're real, and you can't deny their reality because there are people that experience them. They can hear them. So to say it's all in your head, well, it might be all in your head. It's still there. So these guys walking around, you can see them. You go in some place and they're talking and shouting, and they're having these battles going on. And that's called Majnoon, somebody who's Majnoon. Now, the third type of jihad is the jihad which demands that you defend what is right. And that is the jihad of the sword. There are many verses in the Quran which indicate this. It did not come down all at once. It came down for 13 years. The Muslims were not allowed to fight in Mecca. They were given no permission whatsoever. And that is why they simply suffered silently. They did not fight. They did not oppose what was happening to them. And that was very difficult for these Arab men. It was incredibly difficult. People like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I mean, these were men who were raised in a tradition of muru'a, of shaja'a, shahama, these virtues of the Arabs, of strength and bravery and magnanimity. And so for them to watch people being persecuted in the way that they were watching and not able to do anything about it was incredibly difficult. So that in itself was a test. Not being able to fight was a big test. It's not the other way around. But when the verses came down after 13 years, the Sahaba migrated to Medina. Now at that point, what the difference now is that there is a state authority. And I'm using the word state loosely. In other words, I don't want to use state like it's understood in the modern concept of a state, because that's not really what Medina was. But they did have power that was centralized, and it was a city-state in that way. So at that point, they were permitted to fight. This is the first verse that comes down permitting them to fight is أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصِرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. That permission has been granted for those who have been fought to fight because they are oppressed. Now, remember, that this is 13 years later. In other words, they were persecuted right from the start, but permission came when the circumstances changed. So the idea of fighting where you do not have legitimate state authority is not permissible. It never has been. The Muslims have never viewed that. Permission to fight comes when you have state authority. That does not mean an individual has the right to defend himself from being killed. But if you look at the Sahaba and the situations that they were in, some of them were tortured, some of them were killed. Sumayya was stabbed with a spear, the first shahida, the first martyr in Islam. This was the first verse that came down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِن دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ. Those who were chased out of their homes without right, for no other reason than saying, our Lord is Allah. Now this is really important because these are the two reasons that permission is granted to fight. People who oppose your religion and people who steal your land. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنَّ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah does not prevent you from showing kindness to people who have not opposed you in your religion or chased you out of your homes. To show them kindness, righteousness, to share your wealth with them. And Allah loves those who are upright and just and fair. Allah does not prevent Muslims from being kind to non-Muslims. But if they are fighting you in your right to worship your Lord and stealing your land or chasing you out of your homes, then you have a right to fight them. That is the permission that is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And the second period was to fight the mushrikeen. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سِبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ. Fight فِي سِبِيلِ اللَّهِ those يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ who fight you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And do not be aggressive. In Allah la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Allah does not love aggressors. The ulama say the fact that Allah does not love aggressors, you cannot change that. In other words, the mahabba of Allah, the love of Allah is not fickle love. If Allah doesn't love aggression, He doesn't love aggression in any time or place. And so aggression is always wrong. And that is why when Allah says that, fight those who fight you and do not aggress. Do not show aggression. Now, the next level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّةً كَمَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ كَافَّةً. Fight the polytheists completely, just as they fight you completely. Now this came because these people broke treaties with the Prophet ﷺ. And this is something very important to remember about the nature of war. That war occurs generally between two states. This is the nature of war. You can have what's called a civil war, but in Islam that's called fitna. What occurred between the Muslims and the mushrikeen was in a sense a type of fitna. And the reason for that is because they were one tribe. They're actually related by a shared father. Quraysh was the father of all of the people in Mecca, of the tribe of Quraysh. And so in a sense it was a type of fitna. And for that reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they fought in the sacred months, the mushrikun said, يَسَأَلُونَكُمْ عَنْ شَهْرَ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They'll ask you about the sacred months, because the Arabs had 4 months that they never fought in. These were called the أَشْهُرَ الْحُرَمِ. And these were months that the Arabs would never fight in. They asked about these sacred months, fighting in it, because they'd never heard of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. That fighting in the sacred month, it's an enormity, it's a grave thing. وَصَدٌ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ. That preventing people from following their religion, that disbelieving in what was given to them, rejecting it completely, preventing them from the sacred sanctuary, Mecca, and then chasing the people out is worse. أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. It is worse than that. عند الله. أَكْبَرُ عند الله. It's worse than that. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. And this type of social division and dissension is worse than killing itself. In other words, that there are times the actual engaging in martial conflict is better than allowing certain situations to emerge. And that is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا, Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دِفَعُ النَّاسِ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبَيْعٌ وَصَرَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا إِسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا, that you would have seen churches, synagogues, temples, and mosques wherein Allah's name is recited, often destroyed because of predations of aggressive and bellicose people fighting each other. And so Allah is saying, had Allah not used one group of people to stop another group of people. And in another verse it says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعَ اللَّهِ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ, there would be nothing but corruption in the earth. This is an admittance, or rather a teaching in the Qur'an, that the root of human nature is aggressive. The founding fathers, when they were arguing whether you had a confederation, I mean, this was the first big debate when they were ratifying the Articles of Confederation. Hamilton wrote a piece saying that we didn't want confederation, because if you have a confederated group of states, each one of them an individual state, you are setting yourselves up for war. And that's why he said there should be a centralized government. And this is what monarchy means, one source of authority. It's what it means in Greek. War occurs when people do not accept the same sources of authority. This is at the root of war. And that is why the idea of international law is only valid in an international community that accepts the law. If you have rogue states that do not accept the law, now part of the trickery of modern state theory is that the international community itself, they're rogue states. And this is part of the problem. So for instance, the real calamity right now, people don't know this, but it's not in Palestine. It's in Chechnya. Right now, they're just massacring Chechens. It's not in the newspapers. Why? Because the Russians struck a deal with the Americans, war on terrorism. We'll let you do whatever you want to the Chechens. Go wipe them out. That's what's happening. David Elliott, now in Newsweek, at the end of the article, pity about Chechnya. I mean, that's how he ends his article. And the whole article is just about realpolitik, that this is the nature of the world we're living in. It's just all that moral high ground is lip service for the masses. And so what happens in a world where you have people that all they have in mind is their interests? They don't have higher concepts in mind, because at the root of higher concepts is the idea of accountability. And to whom are you accountable to? If you're not accountable to your Lord, because if you are the state and you're not accountable to your citizens, because the citizens are no longer willing to challenge the rights and wrongs of a state, you had people in this country 200 years ago, if you look at the reasons that they rebelled against King George, are nowhere near as significant as the type of oppression that exists in most parts of the world today. Things were not that bad in the United States when the British were running. And that's why a lot of Americans didn't want to fight the British. They didn't have a problem. They were doing fine.